Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to Aimless Double Z, episode 310. I'm Ticket Master, joined by
RPG Maniac 05
and Trioptical.
See how we got so much from playing.
That was like a super delayed start. Like, it took so long.
Well, I have to like delay it because it doesn't like start the stream like immediately after you push the button.
Usually it doesn't take that long. It was like a good.
I've usually waited like 10 seconds just in case. Oh. Like, just give it a 10 second buffer. Nothing bad happens, and then yeah. But yeah, which I'm playing, some middle segment stuff, release date, R.
Yay.
Well, it's not that many R's, but you know.
More.
That thing.
R's. Rapid release response.
That and the news.
Requesting Tropical as well. Just throw it all in there. Bunch of R's for everything. R's for everyone. We have R's for days, guys. R's for days.
Alright, so yeah. I guess I'll leave it to a vote. Do you guys want to hear me talk about Destiny or not? Because I did play it, but nothing really new to report. Except for my hunter can get to 320 now. Yay! So that's 2-3. Yay.
Well done.
I love hearing you talk about Destiny. It's like my favorite pastime.
It's actually funny because I made a video for my YouTube channel that was like my monthly Destiny update. I was kind of bashing the game and trashing the game and being a bit negative. And then there's like an error with the upload. I was like, okay, I can redo it. Yes. I can redo it and be more positive.
Bungie revenge.
Nobody will ever know. And yeah, it'll be fine.
But you'll know Tekken. But you'll.
Yeah, it's fine if I know. Because, you know, it's whatever. So, yeah. But, yeah, Destiny did the right thing. And that's like it. That's all I did this week. Didn't do any Nightfalls. And that's pretty much it. And my hair can be 320. And that's pretty much it. I'm not even going to update the image right now. Because that's, you know, we're just going to brush over it. Because it's not worth talking about. On to the next game. Which I completely forgot to talk about last week. So, you know. Ba-ding! Add one to my score. Because I finished a game on the Vita. Final Fantasy IV. So, you know.
Yeah.
Did all of the... It's like... It also, oh yeah, that, I had a rant prepared. I completely forgot about it because yeah. I guess I finished it and I got over it. But man, the final dungeon in that game is evil. Like, all the chests that you get to have monsters in them.
Yes, they do.
It's like,
I was going to warn you about
it's
that.
It's a trap. But... It's a behemoth and you can't run away and they're like really hard. And it's like, dude, after the first like four times, I was like, I'm not opening these chests. I was like, I probably should have like caught on sooner, but I was like, yeah, I'm not opening these chests anymore. And I just didn't open any more chests. And it's like, they got like trapped chests and there's like, items that are, like, laying there that you think you can pick up, and it's, like, surprise, hard enemy fight, and it's, like, oh, springs out on you. And, like, doesn't give you a save point, it's, like, just evil. That final dungeon is evil. Oh. I played that, and I was, like, I don't know why this game is so popular, and, like, why people just love Final Fantasy IV in Japan. They're weird. It's crazy Japan.
Well,
whatever.
Playing Final Fantasy games, because Square Enix hates you. They're, like, hey, this looks safe, doesn't it? Nope, it's actually a mimic. Mimics for everybody! Because reasons. This is Final Fantasy 12.
Finished that one, enjoyed it. Ending was I mean, it wasn't up to the modern standard of like Final Fantasy games, but you know, it's its own thing, so whatever. No real negatives or critiques to me there. It hit all the spots, and then I moved on to Final Fantasy IV Interlude, which is like the in-betweener between 4 and the after years. The game's kind of terrible. Yeah, I mean, it's not bad, it's just, the pacing is just terrible. And, you start, and it's like, alright, let's all go meet at this party, and then, like, you meet there with all your people, well, with all the people from the past game. And it's like, oh, something went down. But then, it's weird. It's just weird. Because it's like, the game starts, and, like, it has you picking up different characters, like, at different areas. And since it's like a... It's like stuff has already happened, but it doesn't explain anything. There's no like exposition or epilogue of like, well, after we took down that moon situation in the last game, it's like, nope, here you are in the world. Stuff's happening, and like it doesn't explain a lot. And it's like, well, we're gonna get to this, right? And if we don't get to this, like what's happening? Or because it's like just seems like it's just very badly paced right now. I'm like, what is going on? It's like, you know, you're Cid and you're Rosa, and you're like, all right, let's go. Fly to our buddy's place and celebrate, and then you pick up as Rydia, the summoner lady, and she's all like with the underworld, or not the underworld, but the Feyarch weirdos, and like, yeah, I'm a summoner, and I hang out with these weirdos all the time. It's like, oh, okay, and then you have to be Edge,
exactly,
and then and then like he didn't make it there, and then like he's just off doing stuff. Like, yeah, I'm in a cave hanging out. It's like it just seems very like not. based world. Like, what is going on here?
I think that's maybe what qualifies as a cash-in. Is what
and then it's like, there's no exposition. It's like, why do these people are here? It's like, okay, we're going to get, like, explain all this stuff, right? Right? It's like, whatever. And then that's happening. And then, what other character was there? Stuff happened, and Pelham Farm show up, and they're like, all right, we're back. And it's like, yeah, I like you too. And then we get to adventure with them, and stuff's happening. And then it's annoying, because you go to the underworld to, like, fight in this dungeon with, like, super, or not super high level enemies, but just, like, harder enemies that I remember fighting, like, later on in the game. And then, like, I feel depowered because I just finished 4, and it's like, why can't I just carry my characters over and, like, have that situation? It's like, yeah, one of those, I finished the game, but then it doesn't continue over because it's not a self-contained, or it's not the same game, it's just it's a new game taken. So, yeah, it's an interquel. So, yeah, I've never played the After Years, but I guess
I heard it's
it
not
out.
Good, so you're probably...
Because I'm going to play 3-4, and then the Interlude, and then the After Years, and then play 5, but now I'm like, I should probably just skip to 5, because I am not liking this game.
Yeah, you might want to just do that.
It's leaving a very bad taste in my mouth, and it's not getting any better in every second I play it. I'm like, ugh. So we went to the underworld, took care of some business, and then we had the whole, oh, I can't stay in the party, got some stuff to take care of, yippee-skippy, peace out, and then, oh, I lost someone. And then it's like, oh, okay, so you're not in the party anymore because you're doing whatever. And then we picked up, like, these random monks when we went to, like, fight on the mountain, on Mount Hope, or not Mount Hope, but that mountain where Cecil becomes the White Knight, and then... stuff's been happening, but they don't say what happened. They're just like, oh, we were attacked. Blah. And you have, like, weird... It's like, yeah, your party's, like, two monks that, like, have no names. It's just, like, Monkey, Monk D, something weird. Cecil, Rosa, and that other monk dude that has a name that I can't think of right now.
I love this game, by the way. I just love the way it's sounding right.
So that happens, then we go back to the castle of the monk dude, who's now the king of the monk people, which is pretty cool. And then it's like, oh, well, apparently your wife's pregnant, blah, blah, blah. And she gives birth, and he has a daughter. And it's like, oh, okay. And then Rose is like, oh, I'll stay behind and help the lady, because I'm not feeling quite well. And it's like Cecil and the monk dude and Paul and Porum now are just, like, going to do... Oh, yeah, they're like, what's up with all these monsters? Like, we totally just, like, took care of that business in the last game, and then they all just showed up. I guess we should go investigate, and now we're going investigating. So it's like, yeah, I guess maybe we'll find out after all this shenanigans. Oh, that was, but then it switched to Edge. That's the part when it switched to Edge, and it's like, I'm in caves. I didn't make it to the party, but I'm on my way, guys, because I went the really long way through the caves for some, whatever, and just, yeah, it's silly right now. And I'm like, I feel like I'm just right. I was playing this, this clearly was not, they're clearly, like, not, you know, out of their leagues, man. It's like they shouldn't mess with Sakaguchi's masterpiece and be like, oh, let's make a sequel and, like, you know, have this little in between game that, like, ties it together. And, like, she left it alone. And, like, yeah, this game has been, like, just not awesome from the start. So maybe it'll get there. It probably won't. But hey, I can just add to the scoreboard after I finish it. So yay, at least there's that.
The only bonus.
And I'm like, yeah, after playing this, it's like, yeah, maybe there's something to be learned from Final Fantasy, you know, 10-2 and all the 13 trilogy.
Ugh.
That should have been, like, left as one game. It's like, maybe we shouldn't, like, mess with that, you know, the whole formula that we had for, like, 12 games of, like, hey, let's just make the base game and no sequelitis shenanigans, maybe a spinoff here and there, you know, Advent Children, I mean, Crisis Core, whatever, Tactics, spinoff City. It's cool, whatever, but don't, you know... Don't stick that bumper sticker on that Ferrari and be like, hey guys, how's this look? It's like, no, you're ruining a masterpiece. That's what you're doing. Square Enix. Okay, don't go back and, like, I don't want to see sequels for, like, every other Final Fantasy game after I've played this one, because so far I've not enjoyed it. So yeah.
I love it. I just love it.
And I didn't know how I feel about 10-2. I didn't even say anything. Don't get me started. That's all I'm going to say about that. So yeah.
I think 10-2 was good for what it was, and I will leave it at that.
Oh. I can respectfully disagree with your opinion and be like, yeah, the gameplay was awesome, but the story, I mean, yeah, it was a departure because it was like, oh, that's you to have some fun after the sad, soulless, not fun time of 10, but it's like, dude,
No, it was fine. They had a good time in 10. Nothing went wrong. Nothing went wrong at all. It's fine.
And that's what I'm playing on Vita right now. This sad excuse for a Final Fantasy game with Final Fantasy in the name, but not so much else. What else have I been playing? I played a bit of Street Fighter, but I didn't play like a lot. So it's like not. I didn't play anywhere near as much as I did last week. Because I was like, maybe I should play some more like I did last week and pick up another character. But then I was like, I really want to play Far Cry. And I was like, let me just let everybody that's playing right now get higher ranked than me. So when I come back, I can like just fight against scrubs and get the silver and gold tier and get the trophies for them and like be that much closer to the platinum. Which like, it's insight. It's insight if I could just finish flipping. Oh, that's the kind of thing. I don't know if I talked about this last week, but I got, oh wait, maybe I did, whatever. But I got like the 41 on the hard survival and I lost. So it's like, you know, like I was like 40 out of 50, 40 out of 50, 80%, 80% there. And then just choked on it, just choked. And like, yeah, AI spike. And it's like, oh, you're not just going to sit there and crouch the entire fight. Well, too bad the game doesn't do this. Or does it way too often to be like, oh, let me actually try to play, and it's like it lulls you into like a false sense of I got this, and then you like end up with some AI opponent that's like not laying over for you, and it's like, oh, my health bar 10 seconds later is gone, and well, how about that?
Sounds fun.
So I didn't get a lot of Street Fighter action in. I did play some online matches, so did okay, didn't do terrible. So yippee skippy, I'm still in Super Bronze. I'm trying to stay that way through, but till I feel like I don't know. It's hard to weird, like hard to like gauge myself, and I want to get those silver and gold trophies, but just like I feel like I'll never get there. It's like
What point? How many points do you need to be bronze?
I think 2,000. Because I think 1,500 is ultra bronze, and then 2,000
ultra bronze.
And there's like two tiers of bronze, and then gets the silver, and then I have no idea. What's between silver and gold? It might just go from silver to gold, but if it's anything like bronze, it might not.
So, oh, silver.
The old bronze.
That's what I'm like, oh, at this point, getting to gold, oh, yeah. I have a hard enough time winning 50% of my matches, so it's like, oh, yeah, whatever. It was finally lasted. At least there's like new stuff coming soon in an update, so something to do then. Besides that, oh yeah, the stream thingy. So, you know, if I catch you on streams, I kept on playing some stuff. So Mercenaries 2, will not be missed. I got a trophy apparently, because I guess I didn't have a trophy before that I got when I was playing it. So that was weird. I was like playing, saw a trophy pop up, and I was like, I didn't know I get this before, whatever. And yeah, I stand by what I said last time. Hasn't aged well. It's okay. It's not terrible, but it feels like one of those last gen games where it's like open world and they don't let you do all the cool stuff all the time. It's just like, oh, go do this. Oh, you want to do that next cool thing? Well, you have to do this. I guess Assassin's Creed 1 fatigue or syndrome, because it's like, oh, you want to do the next story mission? Well, guess what? You got to go pop pick at some people, go eavesdrop on some conversations. Go climb some towers, go chase down some flags, you know, go do all this busy work that's completely not important. But hey, we had to pad the amount of time you're spending in this game to make worth the money. $60, man. $60, okay? So yeah, gotta make it worth it to get to the end. And I don't know if I'm gonna pick the playthrough I was just doing back up, because I'm like, yeah, whatever, just doing it for funsies and stuff, so I completely forgot there was an entire third act, so that was interesting. Because I was like, alright, I'm at the end. I'm chasing down the dude, and he's in his bunker. And it's like, oh, but you need a tactical nuke. And here are the Chinese in America coming in to do stuff. And I was like, oh, this game is the third act. I completely forgot. But, whatever. So
you got Tales of...
Let's see. Oh, yeah, and then Times of the Future Perfect. Oh, yeah, because that game is a timeless classic of amazingness. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed revisiting my good friend Cortez and going through time and doing stuff. And I'm sad there won't be a fourth one anytime soon, if ever, so whatever. But hey, I got to go do all that stuff, like shoot zombies. Because, you know, it totally did zombies before any of these other popular games were doing zombies, so yeah. And there's monkeys and stuff and comedy and a robot and jokes. I was like, man, this is like almost like a Borderlands game, but not as much polish or content, so. It's completely different, because it's like time travel versus like some barren wasteland planet called Pandora that you don't want to be on. But hey, you're in first person shooting stuff. I mean, you can't jump. That was weird, too. I was like, I can't jump. Whatever. So, besides that, that was fun. Fun time revisiting time travel game. One more thing. Far Cry Primal. I finally started it because I was like, I wasn't sure what I wanted to play this week between Street Fighter and Far Cry, but I was like, I kept having like issues where it's like, I wanted to play Street Fighter after I got home from work, but I'm, like, tired, and my reflexes, I know, are, like, not going to be as good if I'm, like, playing tired. So it's, like, why would I jump online and get the crap kicked out of me? And it's, like, no, thank you. So I'm, like, oh, Far Cry Primal. Man, Far Cry Primal. I completely forgot, like, how they always do, like, this opening sequence on each game, and this one, like, the one in this one. I mean, it's good, but it annoyed me because, it does this thing where, like, a game will, like, do something where it's, like, it doesn't tell you how to do something, and then, like, it lets you die, and it's, like, oh, push this button to do this. It's, like, why didn't you just tell me before? Why didn't you just do that instead of, like, embarrassing me and be like, ha-ha, you got dumped by mammoths, first circle to crouch. It's, like, F you game. But that was a cool opening sequence with the whole mammoth hunt and stuff, and, like, the little timeline, the way it, like, counts down from 2016 to, like, 60,000 BC or something. It was interesting. Was it 20,000? I don't remember. It was a long time ago, dudes. And I was like, wow. And then the whole time I'm playing this game, I'm like, man, I'd be a terrible prehistoric human because I'd be scared all the time, and I'd have to learn how to. Yeah, it's like there's no vegan option. It's all meat. Like, yeah,
vegan.
Talking about, well, they ate tons of scrounged stuff. They were foragers and hunters.
Yeah, tropical. But like, there's like so much meat in this game. It's like you skin everything. You like feed it to your. Oh, that's your thing. It's like your beast tamer. Yeah, that's weird. Okay, I gotta say, Far Cry Primal to me is like the golden mark in the Far Cry games. It feels like it does everything that all these other games have done, where it's like, you know, GTA 5 or Need for Speed, where it's like, it takes all these other awesome things from previous games in the entry and like does this blah, 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 blah. So Far Cry, it's like, but then it's like, it's cool because it does that, but it doesn't have like all the like, you know, there's no vehicles to drive, so you have to like walk everywhere. It's like, man, it would have sucked to be back, like, you know, in prehistoric human times, because no cars and just have to walk. Hope you don't get killed by all these wolves and dolls, and there's so many creatures. They're like, man, it would suck to not have like a house to live in. And like the more I play this, I'm like, I'm glad I live in the future, because yeah, I don't have to worry about all this stuff. It's like, just have a bow and arrow and hope you don't get attacked by wolves or have fire to like. It's cool, there's like a mechanic where like if you have like a club and you set it on fire and you just like swing it at stuff, like depending on what the enemy is, like it'll be afraid and just like run away. It's like, haha, you're scared of fire. Yeah, get away from me because I got fire. I'm a caveman with fire. Yeah, and you know how to do. Yeah, you think it's magic or something. Haha.
The highest like, level of technology.
I just about to say. Yeah.
And then it's weird too because like the enemies in the game, it explains one faction. I ran into both factions, but like it doesn't explain the blue people. Well, they're not blue, but they have like blue body paint on them for some reason, and I'm like, what's up with that? But they haven't explained it yet. And like the other people are weird because like I guess Tropical's right about like the whole like berries hunter gathering whatever, because there's like some part in the game where it's like you meet some other lady and she's like, oh, here, have some food, and it's like these berries, and I'm like, okay, whatever. And then
exactly. Okay, whatever.
There's like Ul, the Udom are the evil people, or the other evil tribe. I don't know what the second tribe's called because they didn't say what their name was. They just attacked me, and I was like, okay, whatever, blue people. Rude. And then so the Udom are like only eat. Wow, only meat eaters. Yeah, it's really weird. Like playing this game, it kind of like it. It's weird to say this, but like it makes me think of like a Land Before Time, because like there's so many parts where like you're up in the like. Well, you're not up in the mountains, but, like, the topography of the game, the elevation, like, the verticality is, like, you'll be, like, looking over valleys a lot of times, and they're just, like, vast valleys of, like, mist or trees, and it looks very beautiful, and I'm like, oh, this is, like, the Great Valley from Land Before Time. There's no buildings, because it's 20,000 BC, and, like, I just keep going back to that. I'm just like, man, back in the day, like, way, way back in the day, man. There's no buildings, there's no structures, there's no electricity. Man, I would have started to live back. There's like this part where you get bit by a snake. Or not the part where you get bit by a snake, but like one of the enemies has like some poison thingy, and it's like, yeah, you can heal yourself, but or like even like the tutorial menu is like, there's maybe a cure for this somewhere in the world. It's like, wait, what? You can't cure poison? Oh no. So if I get bit by a snake, cause it like shows a snake in like one of the images, and I saw one, I killed it with my bow and arrow, cause it scared me. And I was like, oh, so I get bit by that, and I get poisoned, can I like, not heal myself? Do I die? I don't know. Now I'm scared, cause like, everything in that game scares me too. That's the other thing. It's like, until I had my buddy animal, my wolf, my white wolf, like, going with me everywhere, I was like, man, that game is super tense on the whole sneaking through the the Great Valley trying not to die. And then, oh my gosh, it does that thing where, Dead Rising, like, when it gets nighttime, it's super scary and dangerous. Because, like, that's when all the predators come out. It's like, I don't know what's around the next corner, I'm effing scared, there's wolves, and then, like, the lighting is so good that, like, it gets super dark, so it's like, your vision is just like, yeah, have fun with that. And it's like, thanks for Far Cry Primal, because... Luckily, actually, they did that mechanic that they have in 2, when you, like, you go to sleep, you can, like, choose when you want to wake up. So it's basically, like, sleep until dawn or sleep until night. So it's like, I don't know, I do want to wake up at nighttime because it's dangerous. But then I guess, like, also there's some unique animals that come out to hunt that you can hunt at night, but totally not worth it, in my opinion.
Of course it is. What are you talking about?
So, and it's, like, cool because, like, you have, it's weird, but it's cool because you have, like, this weird hunter vision thing mechanic where it's, like, you can see stuff. Like, if you've injured it and you're, like, on the trail of it, it's, like, leaving blood or some scent, so you can, like, check it. And, man, some animals will just, like, lead you on a, like, just, like, for, like, just for, like, one pelt of fur, you'll chase something, like, a mile or something stupid just because it's, like, if it, like, starts to run away from you until you get your pit anyway, because then you can just, like, send it in to, like, kill everything. It's awesome. So, well, I mean, it can die, but you can, like, revive it, so it's cool. But I really like that mechanic of just, like, but then it's, like, before you get the mechanic, you have, like, the sweet, like, astral plane... spiritual journey of, like, the Beastmaster dude that's, like, teaching you this. He, like, makes you drink some thingy, and you have some vision. It's like, oh, man, it was very much on the level of Shangri-La, and I was like, man, this is, like, just as good as, if not better than Shangri-La. Like, Far Cry should just make some weird spiritual astral plane esoteric game. I'd be all over that, and just, like, you're, like, not even in a body. You're just some ethereal spirit floating through the universe.
Don't do drugs, kid.
I'd buy that.
Don't do drugs.
It's like, I'm like, clearly, from playing these last two games, I'm like, you do some, like, weird out-of-body stuff. They just need to make a game about that, because that would just be fascinating to me, and I'd love to play it. Because there's, like, this part when, like, you're getting... It's a trip, actually. It's, like, it's really weird. Like, there's all these, like, glowing spirit animals around you, and it's like you're not in a body because you're just, like, ethereal and vaporous, and it's really weird, but it's really cool, and I'm like, this is interesting. I share a button and I'll upload eventually, but yeah, it was a thing, and it was something. But yeah, really, really enjoying Far Cry. Oh, that's the other thing! I keep thinking of, like, other stuff that's awesome in this game. But, like, there is, like, all the spoken language is just, like, like, it's all, you know, caveman-ish. There's no... language, because they're all just like, you know, don't know what they're saying, because back then they didn't speak English, so yeah, that's neat. And then I put on subtitles, so that's the only reason I know what they're saying. And I really wonder if, like, you don't put subtitles on, if it's just like, hunting and it's like just grunting the whole time. That would be super weird, but, you know, I put subtitles on, so it's cool. What else about this game? Map isn't ginormous. I went from, like, the part where you start to, like, the very south, and it took me a while. It took me, like, I don't remember how long in real time, but it took a long time. And then it's really cool, because I was like, today, I'm like, let me go north and see what's up there. And then, if you go north enough, you get to, like, the, I guess I'll call it the frozen tundra, but, like, it gets, like, you start getting to, like, the snowy, mountainy, ice cappy thingy, area, and then, like, you get this meter that's, like, cold, or something, I can't remember what it's called. And then, basically the game tells you, you're not wearing, or the clothes you're wearing now will not protect you against the cold in this area, so come back later once you've done that, or just watch this cold meter, and then make sure you get
die
to the warmth, safety, or make a fire before you freeze to death. And I was like, wait, what? So it's nice, or I don't know, but I was like, oh, okay, so let me... make a note that I can't go to this part of the map until I've gotten some sweet fur clothing, I guess I haven't made yet, so, yeah. Oh, and there's, like, this whole system of, like, building, well, not building, really, but, like, gathering, like, the crafting system on this one is, like, even more on point, just because it's more important and, like, dialed into, like, what you need to do in the game, so every time you're hunting or you're out collecting materials, it ties into the village that you start, so certain characters, you can, like, upgrade their houses, which gives you bonuses, and then as you, like, you're part of the Winja tribe, so, like, if you're out about doing stuff, and you're always trying to help the Winja, you're like, go back to the western village that we have going on, where the party's at, and, like, it keeps upping your population, and, like, once your population gets, like, enough, you get, like, bonuses and more stuff. It's pretty cool, and, it's, yeah, I'm very much enjoying this game. And if you like Valkyrie, you should check it out, because you might have been like, I don't know, I got some reservations about this one. It's prehistoric time, blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, it totally... I mean, I guess I could see, like, why some people, like, wouldn't like it, because there's no guns, but, psh, whatever, dude. Like, at its core, it totally just, like, nails the whole, like, survival, gathering, hunter stuff of, like, back then, and, like, mixed in with, like, the open-world exploration of Far Cry. It's just perfect match, I'd say. And, yeah, just, like, I haven't even, like, I think that's, like, the cool thing is, like, that, and, like, they ripped out the whole, like, stupid, oh, you're just some foreigner in some country killing dudes. So it's, like, it's less about that, more about just, like, surviving and, like, trying to get your village to prosper. And so it feels really, yeah, grounded in a sensical sense that makes sense setting. And it's, like, oh, yeah. And then crazy animals. Got that old Red Dead thing where it's like, yeah, crazy animals will wreck your stuff. And shenanigans. Because, like, sometimes you'll just be, like, walking around and it's like you hear other animals fighting. And it's like, oh, there's danger afoot. So it's like sometimes I'll just be like, okay, let me just, like, wait for one of them to kill the other one. And then I'll, like, skin it and then get the materials. But, like, I don't need to shoot anything. I need to use my arrows. I'm just going to, like, sit out and wait on the sideline. Or, like, when you see, like, mammoths. And, like, I guess today I figured out you can, like, shoot him with an arrow, and, like, if there's any enemy NPCs nearby, they'll be, like, attacking them, being like, you arrowed me, arr! Well, that's not the sound a mammoth makes. It's more like, marr! That's not either. I can't make a mammoth noise. I'm sorry. Okay, they make that mammoth noise, and then they start, like, charging them. It's cool. It's like, yeah, sweet NPC on NPC action, and then you can just, like, sit back and wait, and then be like, oh, yeah, and then get your free materials, and then do a nice lift of finger. It's great. It's cool, too, because, like, today I saw, like, a saber-toothed tiger just, like, jump on a mammoth and just, like, start... It was, like, the animation was, like, really interesting. Hard to describe, but you had to be there. It's
interesting,
cool.
Like, looks right,
like a,
or...
It was, like, a dynamic, like, thingy it did. It was just, like, it, like, bit on its, like, neck and, like, hung on. It was, like... You could, like, tell it was, like, some sort of, like, special animation thingy, because, like, sometimes your wolf does it to, I can't remember what animals, but, like, some animals would just, like... Like, stick its fangs in its neck and just, like not, like, go until it, like, kills it. It's pretty cool. Hmm. But, yeah, very much enjoying it. It's, like, a sweet, like, it's like a unique takedown animation thingy. But that's my last spiel about Far Cry and how awesome it is.
It's funny, because, yeah. Like, when you're talking about it, I imagine one of those, like, timid, like, monkeys rather than gorillas. That's how I imagine you. In the world. You're walking around. Ooh, danger over here. It's like, oh, I hear danger.
Yeah, that's the really cool thing is, like, there's a ton of noises for, like, each animal, so you can, like, from afar, like, before you, like, yeah.
You can know what it is.
Yeah, you can, like, know what it is. Like, I hear a growl, I'm like, oh, you know. I hear, like, some sort of, like, I know it's, like, some herbivore, like, psh, it's nothing. It's just some deer or something. Totally cool. Let's keep going, Wolfie. We got this.
Until the deer skewers you with its antlers or something.
That has yet to happen. So until it does, haha. And it's kind of cool because, like, sometimes I'll just, like, run, and, like, since you run, like, if you run, you spook the animals, and, like, it's, like, it tells you early, like, if you just, like, sneak up on animals, they're easier to hump. Like, if you just, like, run and keep running, they'll, like, run. And so sometimes I'll just, like, keep running, and they'll be, like, running alongside me, and I'll be like, I am Animal Man through the jungle, we're running, yeah. Like, in a pack, it's pretty cool. But, yeah. I'm enjoying this game very much. And that's all I've been playing.
Man, now I want to play it, though. It sounds cool. But no, I wasted time playing games that never end. So I am... What am I, two? Two on the scoreboard?
Yep.
So I ended up playing a bunch of Guns Up. Because I have no idea why. It was just like, it's fine. I'm grinding for... what they call them, munitions is the currency, and I'm just trying to get up to level 25, and then I'll be done, because I've gotten all the trophies, but it's gonna take a while. I unlocked the sniper class, oh, and now I can bring 5 types of units into battle, and I, like, when I play against the computer, snipers seem to be really powerful, because they sort of just sit back, and none of my units can, like, none of my towers and stuff can hit them. And they just sit there and keep sniping my stuff. It's like, okay, so that's what I'm going to do to people when I attack them. I'm going to bring snipers, and they just won't be able to get me. And that has so far not been the case. The snipers seem kind of dumb. They're just like, I could shoot him from here, but I think I'll get a bit closer, you know, not strain my eyes or whatever. And then they just get shot up. It's like, ah. Mm-hmm. But other than that, progression is going pretty well. I'm unlocking a lot of medals. Basically, like, through use of your troops, you unlock these medals that give you perks. And I finally got the one for grenade launcher guy. So now I can spawn them much more quickly. And you can get... I don't know where these units come from. I uploaded a video of Wave 17 in defense. So these are, like, the developers made up these waves of enemies. Like, they decided the enemy army composition, and then they just send it against your base at certain intervals. And Wave 17 was, like, all guys with rocket launchers and guys with grenade launchers, and then another guy that I've never seen before, he has, like, I don't know what it is. It's like a auto grenade launcher. It fires 6 or 7 of them rapidly in succession, and it's just...
I don't think that's physically possible.
And there was, like, 20 of them, and they would come up at the same time, and then they would all fire, and you just see... It's just, like, raining grenades on my face. I was like, this is insane. Like, the sound is really cool, because it's just like, boop, 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 boop. And you see tons of grenades in the air, and all the rocket launcher guys are shooting their rockets. I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. Somehow I did beat it the second time, but the first time was just, it was very surprising. And, like, recently they updated the game to, make the frame rate more stable, which somehow actually matters in Guns Up, because, man, when the grenades started flying, I could barely move the screen. I was like, oh, I want to put landmines down, but it's very laggy and unresponsive right now. So, yeah, they need to do some more optimization if that's the way they're going to play it. So that's fun. And then this week they released the Necromancer, Zul, into Heroes of the Storm. And for the first time, like, I bought him on the day he came out, which was yesterday. It's like, cool, I got a new character on launch day. I spent way more, because, you know, prices are inflated on launch days, like, but whatever. And then I tried playing, and usually the queue time to find a match is around 2 to 4 minutes. That one took, like, 18. I was like, what's going on? And I think what happens is, because you can only have one of each character on a team in quick match, and yeah, I guess a ton of people buy the new characters on the day that they come out, and so everyone wants to play the new character, and so it has a hard time finding an opening for you to play with the new character. Because, like, or I guess the flip side of that is, apparently, if I use any other character besides Zul, like, these are the fastest queue times I've ever seen. I would push ready, and, like, 3 seconds later, it's like, oh, game found, and then I'm in the game. It's like, well, that's pretty cool. This past weekend was the Spring National Championship, I guess, for North America. A lot of people I'm playing with must have watched it, and it's kind of cool. Like, I guess watching pro games does make everyone better. People are demonstrating an understanding and strategy that they haven't demonstrated previously. Things like, so when you hit level 10 as a team, you get your, like, ultimate abilities. And in the pros, like, before I watched it, people didn't do this. But then after the tournament, if your opponent has level 10, you do not want to go fight them, because they will destroy you. And so everyone runs away. And that is not what people used to do, or at least when I was playing. And now, every time other team hits level 10, it's like, oh, everyone run away, and you all scatter out into the different lanes. So either, yeah, everyone watched the same games I did, and now everyone is, like, aware of the same things, or I've just gotten better at the game, and now I'm being matched with a higher tier of players? Like, I don't know. But yeah, the Necromancer, he's pretty powerful. He can, every time an enemy minion dies near him, he raises a skeleton out of it, and you can have, I think, five skeletons at a time. And then he has this one skill where it turns his regular attack into an area effect attack with his scythe, and it slows down the attacking speed of anyone that it hits. And man, it is super powerful. You can clear waves of minions so easily with him. And then I only played two games with him because I was like, I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait 20 minutes between games. That I could play a game in the middle of that. So I started playing with other characters and discovered on the, playing against Zul, like, he's pretty hard to kill. You can't really burst him to death in the way that you would think you could, because he looks like a skinny guy. So, yes, you have to be careful. it reminded me of a story, actually. Or not a story, just observation while I was playing that was pretty funny. Have you ever heard, like, back in the day when you played Call of Duty Online, and you would, if someone on your team was upset with someone else on the team because they weren't good enough, like, oh, that guy is dragging down the whole team, and they would, the thing that they would say was, you should go sell the game. Sell Call of Duty. You never heard that?
No.
I feel like that's what they said, because, like, in Heroes of the Storm, which is free to play, you can't tell someone to sell the game. He's like, you should sell this game, because you're terrible at it. So the one that I've been seeing is people say, you should uninstall the game. I'm like, that's kind of, I mean, it's correct, but it's sort of a, I don't know, it feels lazy. Yeah. And then I guess briefly, like, I got a super good deal on a 2DS because
no.
I had to buy, well, so my wife was saying, you should buy Yo-Kai Watch, because, you know, my daughter likes it. And I was like, okay. And I went out and looked, and I saw that 3DSs, or 2DSs were, like, $20 off, and they came with the game. It's like, so I could spend $40 on the game, or I could spend somewhat more and get a game and a system, and then she doesn't have to touch my system all the time. Like, you know what? I'll do that. So we got a 2DS with Yo-Kai Watch. I haven't really played it, but I like how it... Oh, I didn't know it had a theme song.
It does.
I was like, wow, it's like somewhere between Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon's theme song.
It's a very unusual theme song. I don't think I can ever make it to the whole theme, though. It's like, it's a bit much.
I don't remember any of it. Except for the yo, but which made me think of Yu-Gi-Oh. But
because even like in their promo video, like even their promo videos are kind of annoying too. So I just like I don't like any of the songs that are happening right now for any of this. It's like we should just stop doing what we're doing, guys. Stop doing what we're doing. Japan is weird.
Yep.
That's all there is to it.
That's what I've been playing. Pretty boring week. Again, paralyzed by, what should I play? And then playing the stuff that can never be finished.
Or can it?
Well, I mean, I have a goal for Guns Up. For Heroes of the Storm, I guess my goal was to get all the characters. But now it's even more than that. It's like, oh, I want the Master Skins on some of these. And it's literally like hundreds of thousands of gold will be required to get everything. And they keep releasing more stuff. So it's pretty much impossible.
We'll see. You should stop playing MOBAs.
It's just the one.
For now.
But that's true, because I'm actually pretty excited about Paragon.
See?
Smite is like, it's okay.
I played Smite, and I was kind of just like, this is... I don't know if it's because it was just like all the classes are kind of basic at the moment, so it wasn't as exciting as I would hope, but I mean...
What did you play as?
Raw.
Okay.
But yeah. The arena mode is actually kind of fun, but other than that, it's just like, it's kind of... bear. But I was reading up on some of the other characters, though, and some of their skills seem like it would be more interesting to play with them, because the ones that are already unlocked are kind of straightforward, but it seems like the other characters are, they're a bit stranger. in their abilities. So it would be, because like there's that one, the one god that's like reliant on portals for his fighting style, but I think he only has like one actual attack, like offensive ability, and the rest of it is like him creating portals for his allies and stuff to get through. So I was like, huh, that'd probably be interesting if they, in the match, if you could ever unlock stuff like that. So I was like, I think it just kind of depends. It might just depend on, you know, unlocking other characters or something is maybe what it is. But the basic ones that you start with are kind of just like, eh, this is just normal MOBA stuff. So I can, it's not, eh, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, part of the draw for me though is like, cause of the whole mythology angle with all the gods and stuff. So that was kind of cool. But other than that, it's like, eh, eh. But I played Galaxy briefly, but then I had to stop playing it once I saw that there probably going to be like some kind of stealth mechanic involved, because they're all like, oh, that circle around your ship means it's the range that the enemies can hear you. I was like, oh, well, I already see where this is going. So yeah, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this game. Sorry. We're not playing this game. So I like got through like the first level or whatever, and I was like, okay, I've played enough just in case. So I'm good. I'm never going to play this game again because I refuse. I don't do stealth, guys. I don't do stealth. So yeah. And the sad thing is it probably would have been a fun game and I could never play it. So I do like the art style though. It's nice. But yeah, I don't even want to put myself through that. So I've mainly been playing Cyber Sleuth and Fire Emblem, which I picked up too. Cyber Sleuth, I actually got close to finishing because it was like it did the whole point of no return thingy, but then there was like a bunch of free DLC that came out, and I was like, oh, let me grab all this. So then, yeah, that happened. So they like released a bunch of like free mission packs and everything, and like a Digimon or whatever to Digivolve into. So I'm currently trying to get that one, but one of the mission packs involves like fighting the seven demon lord Digimon. So they're all like based on like each of the seven deadly sins or whatever. But I'm only like partway through that right now because reasons and stuff and things, so it's just delaying me further because that seems to be the name of the game this year. It's like, hey, you want to finish this game? Nope, we can't let you because reasons and things. And then even after that, they started releasing more mission stuff, so I have like the case board is just like full of cases for me to take, and I'm like, okay, I'm like never finishing this game, am I? So I've made peace with my not beating anything until like December. So it's happening, guys. It's happening. I'm never finishing a game. Never finishing a game. But I'm still enjoying it at least. So if only for just like the nostalgia effect of having all the Digimon and all the happy fun times of not having a Pokemon game right now. So I have that. So it's okay. Everything worked out. And then last week, wait, was it last week? I don't know. Either way, I picked up Fire Emblem Conquest. Thankfully, it was like, I think it was a Friday, so that one guy wasn't there, the one who likes to lose games or whatever. But it's like, everybody seems to be picking up Birthright instead.
Huh.
So I've noticed a lot of people, like a lot of the castles you can visit are like all from the Birthright side of the thing. It's like, oh, that sucks. Everybody's playing Birthright instead. And I think also sales numbers, yeah, they released like the sales numbers too, and it was Birthright outsold Conquest. So I don't know. Maybe everybody just has this whole have to play as the good side thing or something. Although the Conquest side, they aren't technically like evil in the sense that, you know, normal groups are evil. It's just like the king that's on that side, he's like a serious a-hole, but everybody else is like super nice though, because like all your siblings and stuff, they're all like willing to sacrifice themselves for you, and they're all like getting along great, and they all love each other and stuff. And then you have the king who's like, if you misstep, I'm gonna kill all of you. And it's like, oh cool, thanks dad, you're the best. So yeah, he's like the only like terrible person there, and the rest of them are like, they're pretty cool. So I mean I'm assuming like everybody only like fears them is because of him, not necessarily the rest of them, because all the rest of them are, like, super nice. So, like, I don't know. Nobody, then you guys are evil, so I don't know what the problem is here. But they're all the best. They're all just so great. I enjoy them. I think it's one of the things I've always liked about the Fire Emblem games is, like, because, like, similar to, like, games like Valkyria Chronicles and stuff, is how they go through the trouble of, like, giving all these, having, like, this whole giant cast of characters, but then, like, they all have their own thing going on, so you can have, like, your favorites and stuff, and then and do all kinds of fun stuff and everything. There's, like, quite a few new mechanics added to this one, or added to both of them, I guess you would say. You now have a feature where you can, like, build your own castle now, so it kind of works as, like, your hub world, and you can, like, add statues and shops and all this stuff, and you can actually visit other people's castles to see how they have their stuff set up, and you can, like, interact with their various buildings and whatnot. You can also, like, battle their castle too, and if you, like, win, you can actually recruit characters from their team, or, like, get a skill for a cheap price or something from them. So it's like you could just go visit people and, like, attack all of them and stuff like that, or they can invade you and all these other things. So it's like, it's kind of cool, but so you can pretty much, like, build up your defenses and, like, place, like, different like, turrets and for the conquest side, you can do, like, turrets and, like, golems and stuff. And I can't remember what, because I remember, like, going to Thrallmind's castle, and I forgot what defense thingies he had for his before I stole one of his characters for revenge. So it was, I don't remember. But yeah, it doesn't matter. But they've also changed, or there's also, like, a new mechanic where you can, it's called, like, a dragon vein thing, where it alters the environment. So in certain levels, there's these little points on the map where you can, like, go to with one of, it has to be somebody of, like, royal blood, and they can activate it, and it'll change, like, the landscape or something. So like, in one level, we were, like, in a cave fighting, like, this whole army of ninjas or whatever, and anytime you activate one of the dragon veins, it'll cause, like, some towers to, like, appear to block off certain pathways, and then it'll cause other ones to, like, disappear. So you can, like, open up different pathways, and, like, you can kind of alternate it to kind of bottleneck the, because you're, like, severely outnumbered in some of these things. So it's like, in that one, you can kind of, like, cause them to, like, bottleneck into certain places and kind of keep playing around with the dragon vein then. Or there was, like, another one where it created, like, a duplicate team of the players you were playing with, and it's like they can assault the other side of the level that you were on, and it's like it kind of functions the same way as you just controlling, like, a whole small little army on the other side. So it's a cool new mechanic thingy that they added, and they also, like, altered some of the previous mechanics, like the pair up system and everything. So now pairing up kind of works more defensively, and then to do, like, offensive stuff, it's like you just have to have them, like, next to each other instead of, like, actually pairing them up as one unit. So they changed that as well, and then the kid mechanic came back, so you can, like, have people get married and have children now, except that they're not using, like, the weird time travel excuse for that one now. So it's some other reasoning that allows your kids to, like, age up quickly, so you can, like, recruit them for stuff and things. So that's cool. I love all the kids so far, though. They're pretty great, but they're weird. But it's cool, though. Let's see. I haven't gotten Birthright yet, but I'm probably going to buy it after. Because, like, at a certain point in the story, you have to choose a side. I think it's, like, chapter 6 or something. And you can, based on which game you have to choose one or the other side. Unless you already own both games, then you can choose whichever side you want. But I was thinking about getting it earlier, but I think I don't know how far I am into the game now, so I might end up just waiting until I beat Conquest and then just going back and doing Birthright before Revelations come out, I think, in, like, a couple of weeks. So but yeah, that's mostly it, I think, on that. And that's pretty much all I've been playing, so.
Okie dokie. Our time, I guess.
Moving on to releases?
Yes.
Is everyone playing something?
Huh?
Is everyone playing something?
Oh, I was laying down because I have a headache. So
I see. Well, yes, we move on to the third rapid release responses. If you haven't heard this before, it's basically we go to releases.com. I read off the title of the game that's coming out, and the other two, they respond with a yes, no type noise, or a case that they don't know the game that I'm talking about. And then I'll read a brief, often truncated description, and then they get to make their reaction. As always, we skip PC and Mac and Xbox One games, because two of them because there's too many, and one of them because we don't care. Okay, so here we go. Well, we're going to skip the first week because we missed it. We'll move on to March 8th. First game is Tom Clancy's The Division.
Nope.
No.
I'll see you in the fall when you're $20 or cheaper.
Yeah.
Unless there's a flash sale before then.
Yeah, I should follow what Tekken's doing. Even though, like, it seems really cool. I do want to play it.
I don't even know if, even when it's cheap, I probably still won't get it, because, like, by the fall, it'll be too late. There'll be, like, way too many things going on.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, so you played it, though. Like, did you think it's good, though?
That's right, but you played the beta.
I did play the beta. You're correct.
Is it good? Did you think it was good?
I mean, it existed.
Okay.
That was a thing. I mean, it seems like it has potential, but it's one of those things where I'm like, I've seen this all before.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I want to do this again.
I've been on this ride before.
It's like, it was fun the first time when I didn't get my spaceship battles, and I'm not playing that game again. So we're not doing this to Division. We're not doing this. You can't be trusted anymore.
All right. Next one is Blast'em Bunnies, also March 8th, PS4 and PS Vita.
I don't even know what.
Originally released on the 3DS, Blast'em Bunnies is a first-person shooter where players take on.
I'm interested, but
take on what? What do they take on? Dravdaka. What are they taking on? Evil characters.
The predators too.
I guess they take on bunnies because it's Blast'em Bunny. Or is it description of the bunnies themselves?
Bunnies are Blast'ems, maybe. They're fighting evil carrots or evil wolves, or I don't know.
Or robotic, psychotic bunnies that are trying to slaughter and enslave the good bunnies that made them.
Oh dear.
Yeah, it the cover looks like there's a slightly overweight or maybe muscular bunny in a blue t-shirt and red eyes. Though I guess they just naturally have red eyes, right?
No.
Some of them do, but not all of them.
All right then. So it's the bunnies that are Blast'em.
Oh no. Maybe. I don't know.
All right. Also, last one for March 8th. Kholat? Kholat for PS4.
I have no idea.
I don't know what that is.
Kholat is a game developed by independent studio IMGN.pro and is inspired by true events known a...
Wow. So that didn't help at all? Probably not, I guess.
Right. Moving on. The next one, March 10th. Fire Emblem's Fates Revelation, 3DS.
Yes, but probably not immediately, because I thought to get through Birthright first.
Yeah, I still have a broken 3DS, so still not getting any 3DS games anytime soon. Mm-hmm.
March 11th, Hitman, PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
I've already pirated it, and am waiting the second beta of the same stuff, probably.
Looks cool. I'm also interested.
I am interested, but probably not going to get a release time. I know. I know. Damn it. Aren't they doing like a beta for PlayStation Plus user thing soon? I'll play that and see how it goes, and then we'll go from there.
Next one, March 15th, Senran Kagura Estival Versus for PS4 and Vita.
No, I'm not a fan of that series.
Alright. Also March 15th, EA Sports UFC 2.
Mm-mm.
Xbox One, PS4. Nope.
Nope.
Samurai Warriors 4 Empires, PS3, 4, and Vita.
Miss a game.
No.
March 15th, Aegis of Earth, Proto Novus Assault, PS3, 4, and Vita.
I have no idea
what that is.
ASCII Games is bringing this action strategy game to consoles and handhelds. The idea is simple.
What's the idea? What's the idea? Like, why are you doing this to me?
I've heard of ASCII Games before, but I have no idea what this is.
Or, I guess that's wrong.
Some sort of strategy
like
game.
Axis,
right? I think it's Axis, you know?
Yeah.
It's
an action strategy game.
Actually sounds like it might be interesting, but I've never heard of this game, so I don't know. What is it called again?
Aegis of Earth? A-E-G-I-S? Protonovus Assault. The box art is just the logo on a shield of some sort, and it's black because it's placeholder art.
No.
Less and less information, even though I've said more and more.
It's like, I don't actually know. I don't know. Maybe. Because, I mean, I do like strategy games, so I'm curious as to what this is. Yeah.
I would like to know more as well. And then finally, March 15th, Sebastian Loeb Rally Evo, PS4 and Xbox One.
I don't even know what that is, so no.
There's always room for a good rally game, and Sebastian Loeb Rally Evo looks to fill that void. Oh my gosh, almost a complete sentence.
There's a void?
I know there's like a new Dirt game, I think, coming to PS4
or something. There's a Dirt Rally coming to PS4,
yeah. So it's like, actually, that void is going to be filled by Not You game, Sebastian Loeb, sorry.
Oh.
I'm not as familiar with this franchise.
I don't know who that is, so yeah, no.
Also we skip Wii U games because only I have a Wii U.
But still, I might be interested in them though.
Okay.
Tropical.
Wii U is back. March 18th, Sonic Boom, Fire and Ice 3DS. Yeah, Sonic fan? Yeah.
Sega.
I
don't know where I stand with Sega at this moment. we're going through some stuff right now. We're going through some stuff.
So, how about this one? March 18th, still March 18th, Mario and Sonic at the Rio 2016 Olympic Games for the 3DS.
That's one franchise I'm glad I never played any of.
I don't think I've ever played any of the Olympic Games. Wait, did I? No, I might have played one of them, but it was at someone else's house.
I played one. It was fun.
It could be fun.
And finally, March 18th, Pokken Tournament for Wii U.
Because I would be interested in, brutality in the Pokemon world, taken to its logical conclusion.
I think gameplay, it's not that. It doesn't look that bad. It looks okay.
To its logical conclusion.
March 22nd. Lichdom Battle Mage for PS4 and Xbox One.
This sounds familiar.
Everyone likes tossing fireballs in first person, and Lichdom Battle Mage is set to deliver that.
I have a game already like this, I just haven't played it. It was first person sorcery or something. Because some small developer indie game, but I haven't played it. So I'll get this when it's on flash sale or something for $5.
Mm.
There's only so much you can do in a first-person with guns, such a thing.
It's true.
It would be fun, I guess, to kill people with magic in first-person.
And fireballs.
And fireballs.
Trackmania Turbo, PS4 and Xbox One.
Is this a racing game? No, thank you.
It is a racing game.
Then no.
Republic on PS4.
Oh, yeah. I've been waiting. I didn't even know it was coming out on PS4, actually, so I am pumped.
Yeah, it looks like Episode 5 comes out on PC that day, March 22nd. And
ooh, so it's all the episodes. I don't have to worry about the long wait of people on mobile and PC. Hmm.
I don't know what Republic is.
Oh, it's a stealth game RPG. So.
Oh,
or The world of episodic gaming continues to evolve. Republic is the latest in the trend as player.
God damn it.
And finally, March 22nd, 101 Ways to Die on PS4.
Well, that doesn't sound pleasant at all. That doesn't sound pleasant at all. Why would anyone even play a game like that? How would you even play a game
like
that?
It's a golden dime.
Like, I want to say, like...
That's kind of how it seems.
What does this work?
March 23rd, The Elder Scrolls Online, The Thieves Guild. I guess this is an expansion, PS4.
Don't have Elder Scrolls Online. Don't. Not a fan of the franchise. Not getting it.
I mean, I played the beta, but then I was like, I had my fill.
Alienation, PlayStation 4. Also March 23rd. Ooh.
Alienation? That sounds like a game that's already out.
Yeah, just about to say, because it sounds familiar.
Sounds like something off of Steam or something that I either bought or played.
Or am I reading it wrong? It's one word. Alienation.
Oh. That changes everything. Yeah, I have an idea what that is then. Yeah.
Unleash pain upon a nation of aliens in this top-down shooter, which serves as a spiritual follow.
Wow, really? It's called Alienation.
I get it, because...
Yeah.
That's not at all what I thought it was going to be about, because I thought it was going to be about some secluded thing where you're, like, on your own and screwed, but then it's like, well, it's not, because reasons. So then, no.
Cute. All these are PC games. PC. Hyrule Warriors Legends on March 25th for 3DS.
No, I don't like the Warrior game. I have the boat. I've gotten off the boat. They can't take me back. They can't take me back.
And then they just announced this recently, March 29th, Resident Evil 6, PS4 and Xbox One.
I'm going to wait for the all three in one bundle coming when Resident Evil 4 comes out, because they're saving the best for last for some reason, but whatever.
Ugh, Resident Evil.
That way you can't just like get 4 and be like, whatever, to the other two. That's why. It's a trap.
That's probably why.
Because, you know, we all know what happened after Resident Evil 4.
Ugh.
The shark, they jumped when they went downhill after that.
Ugh.
All action.
The glorified escort mission. Ugh. Ugh.
That's like one part of the game.
It's a like very
maybe,
large
maybe one,
part.
One chapter. It's like one chapter of the, like an 8-chapter game.
Oh.
And there's like the whole Ada Wong like side story that's probably going to be included. Well, better even be included this time. Then you can play that and be like, I played the side mission with Ada, but never the Leon thing, because I got to the part to escort Ashley and it was terrible. So.
I already had Ada in the movies, so I'm good on my Ada fix. It's fine. It's fine.
She has a whole campaign in 6, so you know.
And she has a whole part in whichever one was the name of that last movie that I can't remember because there's so many damn subtitles for these thingies. Was it Aftermath? Extinction? Apocalypse?
I have no idea.
One of the many?
Resurrection?
I know, right? It's like I don't even remember. I don't even remember what order they're in. There's just so many.
Why don't they just have numbers like the games? Oh.
Right. That would have made... I mean, the only one that makes sense is like the last one being called Final Chapter, so you'll always know which one that one is. The other ones, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know which one you are. I don't know.
I did like 6, but I don't like it enough to buy it again for like $40 or $30.
I think each is going to be not... 20.
Ooh, well, I'll try for the bundle. Because I did just play 5, and it was actually decent and held up. So I was like, yeah, I do like 6.
Five.
Just because it has Leon in it, and Ada.
I'm interested in, like, what multiplayer, how that's going to be enhanced.
They have all that and, like, not DLC it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get to play it on the 6, because I got it on 360. So.
March 29th, Knights of Azure. I think that's how you say that. On PS4.
I have no idea what this is.
I am interested in it, but my only issue is that Gust is developing it, and I...
Well, I've heard enough.
But the thing is, like, because it looks cool, from all they've shown, it looks like they've actually tried to make a game this time. So I'm like, this might actually not turn out terrible. And it's been getting, like, good reviews in Japan so far. So I'm like, maybe it might actually be a good game this time and not be Gust. Because.
Maybe it will.
Maybe
they saw from Software did, and they're like, you know what, guys, we can do that. We've made a lot of, okay, we haven't made any mediocre games, they're all terrible, but still, this could be our chance, it could be our own Dark Souls,
people are going to know about us after this, and things will be different. Yeah.
Because it looks like something. It looks like a cross between, like, Valkyrie Profile and, like, one of those, either DMC I'm going with here, one of those. It's like some weird cross between those two games.
DMC?
Because it's an action RPG where you have like a servant demon guy with you, or like, well, I guess you can like change which one you have, but it's like it's an action RPG and you have like these demons that help you fight and stuff, but like you can have things like mapped to your face button for like different spells and stuff. So it's like it's kind of like similar to how the Valkyrie Profile did their like different characters are mapped to face buttons for different attacks and stuff. So.
Interesting. Maybe. Continuing with March 29th, MLB The Show 16, PS3 and PS4.
I didn't play sports games. Nope.
I don't know how to sports.
And also Trillion God of Destruction for PlayStation Vita.
Okay. I think I saw this on Twitter. It's some sort of like shooter thing. But,
An actual God of Destruction?
No, you have like, it's got like boss enemies with like a ton of health or something weird.
It's like their health bars are like RPG.
Oh, it's strategy RPG. Well, I might have to consider it.
RPG, you say? For the Vita, you say? You have my attention now.
I guess I was just misjudging it from all those screenshots.
I might pick that up. What is it called?
Trillion God of Destruction.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out for that. Keep an eye out for that.
This one must be a bug, because it says March 31st, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 is coming out on PS3 and Xbox 360. Oh, wait, no, that actually could be true, because Pro Skater 5 is the one that everyone hated on PS4 and Xbox One.
Ah.
And they did say they were going to put it on the old consoles.
Eventually.
Eventually. I guess it's March 31st.
Have this.
And then these are in March, but don't have an exact date. Organic Panic, PS4 and Xbox One.
I don't know what that is. Is it like a piñata, but with plants?
Organic Panic is a super kooky physics-based platformer with totally destructible environments,
That sounds interesting. I do enjoy physics. Indeed.
Physics platformer.
Indeed. So, heavy.
And that's it that they have listed for March 2016. Those are the releases. I recently discovered that releases.com is not very comprehensive. So, I guess we just do this for fun. The big releases are going to be all there, though.
You would think.
That, yes. I would think.
That's how they get you.
So, I guess that's another rapid release responses. Let's go on to the news. There's a few quick ones first off. We mentioned the Drive Club mobile app was coming out soon. Well, it's out now. So if you have Drive Club, you can download the app onto your iOS or Android device, and it lets you monitor the challenges. So if you're participating in any challenges or you sent challenges to your friends or whatever, you can look at the leaderboards on there. It's pretty bare bone, I guess, in that way. You can't really, like, you can't check on your club or anything like that.
Well, then what's the damn point?
I guess the game is all about challenges, so.
No.
The redesign is just totally focused on challenges. Also, the beta for PlayStation 4's 3.5 update is starting. It's codenamed Musashi. Ooh. And it's got like new social features, friends online notifications, you can appear offline now. Those events that I thought were really cool, now users can make events. But one of the big ones is remote play is coming to PC and Mac. So you'll be able to stream your PS4 to your PC or your Mac. And sort of related to that, they stopped shipping out PlayStation TVs. So the little box that most people thought of as just using it as a remote play box. Like, they aren't sending those out anymore. And I guess if, you know, 3.5 is going to have streaming to PC, maybe they decided, you know what, nobody needs this anymore because more people have PCs. And, you know, what is the other function of PlayStation TV except play Vita games on your TV? So it's still got that. But, man, there's just so many little streaming boxes now. I think I have 4 of them. I don't even have that many TVs. So, yeah. That's probably why it died. It's not really a delay. Well, so this one, Uncharted 4 is a delay. They delayed it a few weeks. Now it's coming out May 10th, and it was going to be April 20-something? I don't remember. Why? They didn't really say, but they promised that it's going to be worth the wait.
Actually, they said it was manufacturing or something.
Yeah, they said something about, like, well, then we'll be able to smoothly launch it around the world. So, yeah, I guess. Maybe the disc printers were busy
the week before. If you have a digital copy pre-ordered, you're like, well, F everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not an issue for me. But that's only.
I wonder if that's going to happen, like, 2 weeks before May 10th. They'll just be like, you know what? It only kind of makes sense, so here you go. Or, you know, they might just take the extra time and be like, let's work on it more, because we're crazy and perfectionists.
Also, apparently RPG has been dropped from the call, and I guess his Skype crapped out on him because he's not online.
Oh. Well, then. We'll just continue with the news here. This one affects Tekken more than RPG, I suppose. Mass Effect Andromeda is this fiscal year, but not this calendar year.
I already predicted this because I was like, it's not going to come out this year. Like, I've been saying that since they said holiday 2016. I was like, it's not holiday. It's going to be Q1, and it's effing Q1. Like, I'm just going to say, yep. Tekken was right because yep. I've been calling it. I called it since they said it, so it's whatever. I was already prepared.
Yeah, apparently this was Chief Financial Officer talking to investors during Morgan Stanley's Technology, Media, and Telecom Conference. And the entire answer, it's sort of interesting because we get to see what they're releasing. So he says, we've got a great year ahead. First time trying to tap down Wall Street expectations, then build it up. And so basically they say they've got a Battlefield first-person shooter coming in the third quarter, a third-party title from Respawn. It's the second Titanfall title. And then they've got Mirror's Edge in the first quarter, which is May 24th. And then Mass Effect in the fourth quarter, which is between January and March 2017. So there's a new Titanfall coming out at the end of the year. And new Battlefield, which they haven't really said anything about yet. So that's sort of cool.
Didn't they say they're going to go to every other year with Battlefield, though? Or did they ramp it up to every year?
Well, it's been a while with the... I don't know. Do we count Hardline as Battlefield?
That's the thing. Is like, I thought they were going to have, like... That's what's throwing me off, because I know that, like, every other year they were having, like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, blah, blah, blah. But are they just going to have, like, in-between not-numbered ones now?
I guess, because Medal of Honor fell through.
Oh, yeah, that's probably what it is.
Because that was going to be the one in-between.
Yeah, you're right.
They supported Battlefield 4 way longer than I think they were going to. I think they were going to do Medal of Honor, but then it was like, nope, people didn't like it. Activision is doing what EA is doing in that they're also not going to be at E3, or they're not going to have their own booth. Apparently the next Call of Duty will still be there, but it will most likely be with the PlayStation stuff, because they're partnered in Call of Duty now. And they haven't announced if they're doing something like EA, which was, like, EA announced EA Play, I think it was called.
Yeah,
EA Play. Sort of like a public open one.
See, that'd be kind of crazy, because they're the top two publishers.
I know.
So, like, if they're gone, that either, like, will make a lot of space for everybody else. Maybe Crazy Kenshin Hall will come back, or, like, you know, all the not big two, like, to just to gobble up all the space or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe the, like, platform holders would be like, oh, let's get in on that.
Well, you know, Bethesda is doing another thing. People are excited about that.
What is happening?
This one I was interested in. So Disney Infinity, they announced that they're not releasing 4.0 in the holiday season.
I was so excited about this because I'm like, okay, I can totally buy 3 now. I can totally buy it. They're going to continue supporting it. And I was like,
it's a drone.
No. I'm okay with it. It's too late. I'm already in dash. I'm already like, Disney, you got me now. You got me.
Yeah, they basically said instead of releasing a 4.0 at the end of the year, they're just going to do 4 playsets for 3.0 this year, and each one is going to be, there's going to be one for each of the big 4 properties under Disney, so Disney Originals, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
Oh, that's cool.
You had me at Disney. It's fine.
The Marvel one we already know is Marvel Battlegrounds. That comes out on the 15th, and at the same time they're going to be releasing 4 or 3 new characters. Black Spider-Man, like, already, you could buy him if you bought the Vita version, but now you can get him individually. Black Panther, who looks, like, that figure looks awesome. Ant-Man, and a 4th one.
Vision or something?
Vision, yes.
Oh, yeah. Wait. By Black Spider-Man, do you mean Miles, or do you mean his alien costume?
The Black Suit Spider-Man.
Okay, you can keep him.
Black Peter.
I know Miles. His name. Disney Classics, they only announced one figure that's coming out. It's Baloo from the Jungle Book. Sort of as a celebratory release figure for the Jungle Book live-action movie that's coming out.
Gross.
But they went with, like, classic animated Baloo.
Obviously, they're not going to, like,
be a bear. It's a bear.
Thank you.
What was the other one? Oh, and I guess, like, the Zootopia figures are out now. They came out on the 1st.
I need to go see that movie.
So, you know, it's maybe sort of easy to guess what they're going to be releasing as far as playsets, because we know what movies are coming out. So Marvel Battlegrounds is clearly, like, a Civil War type tie-in.
Civil War! Yes. That's only a couple of months away! It's only a couple months away, guys!
Pixar is releasing Finding Dory, so that's probably that one. Alice Through the Looking Glass, so probably some Alice in Wonderland things, and then Star Wars Rogue One is a possibility. Or they could be doing a Star Wars Rebels playset, because we have those characters, but they don't have their own playset right now.
I'm gonna go with the first one, Tragical Wars.
Rogue One.
You were right across the board. All the stuff that they're doing is in sync and in unison, because that's how giant corporations roll. So yeah.
Well,
the second I see it on sale anywhere, it's like, I will take one of everything, please. One of everything.
And then finally, like, I think this is a interesting topic of discussion. But basically, Microsoft had a press conference last week where they showed off a bunch of games. But the big thing that came out of it was that Microsoft is planning to unify its PC and Xbox One gaming platforms into one ecosystem that runs universal Windows applications. And part of that, it was sort of implied that, oh, now, you know, we want to uncouple hardware and software. So basically, they want to, it sounds like what they're talking about is following more of the mobile approach, where there's going to be incremental hardware improvements within the generation.
I mean, on the console side, I'm not sure how I feel about that, but.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
Because that kind of would be like the prices would never go down. They would always stay up.
You always want the most expensive one.
Yeah.
Because it's the best. Well, so what they're saying is, like, oh, this is different from releasing new consoles in the sense that they'll all be backwards and forwards compatible. But the better ones will be able to play stuff better. And it's like, well, isn't that how PCs are, basically?
Yeah.
That is true.
So, like, one of their showcases was a Forza 6 Apex, I think, They called it, it's being developed simultaneously for PC and Xbox One because it's like they rewrote the engine to be a universal Windows application. Does this, well, so what do you think is happening here? A lot of people, there's a lot of people saying different stuff. It, some people is like, well, this is the end of the Xbox One then, right? Because
maybe that's why they named it like that. So that would be like, now the 2, 3, through now whatever. Can, yeah. Come up.
They can release all the way up to 359 for that before it gets confusing once again.
It's like, oh no, this is the Xbox 360 again. No. Red Ring Fear.
Red Ring Fear.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, I think, well, so they didn't exactly say what their hardware plans are, so we don't know that this means incremental new hardware. But that's what it kind of sounds like. That's what it sounds like right now. And I'm like, why?
Because then you can have an upgradable console.
But why?
Because reasons, Tropical. Because reasons. That's how this industry works. Because reasons.
I can't see anyone buying a new Xbox every year in the way that people buy a new iPhone every year, though.
I don't even buy a new iPhone every year, so no.
Or like every 2 years, people buy new.
I don't know. It's like on the one hand, I could see.
I haven't bought a new phone in like 4 years.
I could see it as like an easier alternative to PC gaming, though, just because it is a console is always going to be more convenient than a PC because you don't have to worry about all the.
I mean, it would kind interchangeable of depend on the stuff. Price, though, because.
Not. I mean, if you get one, but it's not. I mean, not really. The price of a PC gaming machine is, like, really high anyway, so it's kind of the same thing. It's just a matter of, like, would you like to upgrade your graphics, yes or no? And then if so, oh, I should get a new Xbox One, because it's way easier, so.
Because
It plays the same games anyway, so.
You think GameStop is celebrating at this, then?
No, I definitely not.
you don't think they're, like, jumping around like, oh, it's going to be awesome. Now every time they release a new Xbox, which
that
will be more frequent. We'll
a
just run our
major
our
headache
deals.
In a retail environment
is
of, like,
though?
Explaining the different iterations.
Because they don't really explain anything now, so it's just going to be like, for them, it's just like, yay, we get to sell.
Oh, you say that in RPG. Just remember the Xbox 360 Core versus Elite versions.
Yeah, I don't remember anybody ever explaining them, like, ever. I remember going into a store, and they're like, yeah, just buy this console.
Yeah, you basically just push the one that you think is the best.
Yeah.
Which is what people did. And so they would push the one that didn't have Kinect, unless the person seemed like they want Kinect. Then it's like, well, that's $50 more for us.
Yay. Money, my dear boy. Money. So.
Well, okay, so first of all, is this the end of the Xbox One? Like, what is the point of buying an Xbox One? First of all, like, if you can get the games on a PC. And second of all, if...
An Xbox Two is coming soon.
Yeah,
it's not the end of Xbox One because you even if you can play it on PC, people who are getting it on console play it on console because it's more easier. And then, like, even though there's more versions of Xbox One coming, that doesn't mean, like, they said it's forward compatible, so you don't need the new versions to play the current software. If it's a Windows whatever you call
it won't be
app,
pretty.
Universal.
Yeah. I wonder how, for example, a gamer would react to that. Like, ah, no. Because, you know, in the past, let's say, you know, in year one of the Xbox One, you buy it because you're like, okay, you know, I'm buying the Xbox One. Why? Because I like Gears of War. There is no Gears of War game right now, but there will be, you know, I'm sort of assured that there will be Gears of War. There will be Halo. There will be this stuff. So it's okay if I buy it now and play, you know, I'll just try these games that are out for now, but I'm really buying it for Gears in the future. With, you know, this model, then it's like, I should just wait until Gears is about to come out, and then buy the the best Xbox One at the time.
Yeah, but you can always, like, trade in, too, so it's like, you can always just subsidize whatever version of the Xbox you have for the one that you want to get. And there's always going to be some stupid promotion to be like, oh, get this much off on the next version of the Xbox, if you trade in this version of the Xbox for it.
And this is why.
But then I think the thing that's going to be confusing on this is, like, what are they going to do with Xbox Live? Because if I'm playing on PC, I expect to, like, not pay for stupid online yada yada yada.
So here was an interesting thing where And I just think this is totally the wrong answer, but like Aaron Greenberg has been responding to people. People have been asking, say, how come, you know, so how come you don't have to pay for Xbox Live on Windows 10, but you do on other things? And he said, basically, his response was, the business models are totally different. And it's like, that is a weird response to give people. So what you're saying is, because my PC costs more, I don't have to pay it. And my console costs less. And since I've saved money, I might as well give some of it to you. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
This is really interesting, though, because like, it seems like on paper that like their software sales will go up, but their hardware sales are going to tank off of this.
Yeah, that I agree. Because now that I know that, well, not immediately right now because my PC can't run any of them. But in the future, I am now interested.
Yeah, just like wait for a PC that plays that, yeah. And then it'll be like since historically PCs are always superior to console anyway. It's like they're probably gonna have to catch up on that side, and like yeah, it's not gonna be worth it to buy an Xbox in the future, especially with the Live situation and the answer that the dude just gave of like, oh, it's a completely different business model. It's like whatever, dude.
You saved money, so, and that's because of us pricing it cheaper, so you should give some of that back to us. It's like, what? What are you talking? Just, man, everything Microsoft does seems, they always lead with how it benefits Microsoft. They never lead with how it benefits the user. Like, oh, you know, it'll have TV and there won't be discs anymore. Yay, DRM!
Oh man, what about like in the future in the living room. The like HoloLens versions of these that come out, if they're like priced at the same price as like a HTC Vive. It's like, oh yeah, you thought this was a great idea, huh? Yeah. Oh well, here's the pricing, guys. Yeah, have fun with that.
Well, I mean,
Xbox 2, $800.
Yeah, phones are pretty expensive now. I don't think about it. They are more than consoles. It's like ridiculous.
Oh, that is true. Now I'm just thinking about like my first reaction was just like the prices are never going to go down. This is the end. Damn it.
Why you buy? Yeah, I think more and more it makes sense to just get a PS4 and a PC.
And whatever Nintendo's doing.
Yeah.
As your campaign console. Because, like, it always some kind of weird shenanigans going on in Microsoft. I don't know what's going on over there sometimes. I just don't know, man.
It's going to be at least, like, 10 years before I buy another computer. And it's like, I've been holding out for so long. And now it's, like, the VR nonsense of, like, well, it's $1,000 to get one of these. It's like, oh, they just don't come down. What happened to the good old days? Oh, seriously.
Which reminds me, I am overdue for like a new phone now. It's been years now. I think I can finally get a new one. Go ahead and drop those $700. That's going to be happening. America.
Well, so that is happening. In the console world, what do you think it means for the console, like the somewhat meaningless but also fun, like console wars?
That they've given up? I don't.
For example, like Eurogamer's Digital Foundry, when they do Face Off, they basically take the two versions on consoles and then say like which one runs better. At some point, if there's a whole bunch of Xboxes, then it's like,
here's your Xbox.
Well, the Xbox one does
all
like
six of them.
Yeah, if you buy the Super Xbox or the Ultra Xbox, like it's much
Mega
better.
Mega Xbox 3. The blue version.
I mean, do you think it gets to a place where people look at it as like, well, right now, at this moment in time, the Ultra Xbox, it costs a bit more, but it is like so much more powerful than the PS4.
I think it would be one of those things where like they would take the high-end version of like whatever the highest end Xbox is on the market and the low-end version of like launch version.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, these are the two.
Oh, they would compare those.
These are the two that we're going to take because you're either someone that bought one at launch and you're not upgrading, or you're a person that like just got the nice, fancy, hot sexiness of the best one ever, Xbox. And we'll compare them against the non-upgradable PS4 and whatever, PC, blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's probably make me more hesitant to even buy an Xbox One now, though, because it's like,
yep.
Initially I was planning on...
After I heard
that,
I was like, this is why I never bought a cell phone,
like,
and never will, because they just keep making them.
Yeah, because like, look how long it's taking me to like upgrade my cell phone. And it's like, I don't know if I'm on board with this, because then it's like, I can't keep up.
And the pricing is terrible, as I've mentioned, where it's like, oh, you want a new one? $500. It's like, but wait, it doesn't do anything better. You're just gouging me.
Slightly better? That doesn't evolve.
It's okay, we'll come up with another one in 12 months and just charge as much as this one, so suck it again.
So now I'm just like, this actually makes me more likely to buy whatever Nintendo's console is next now, because I'm like, oh, well, guess what, we're getting an Xbox now, so you're welcome, Nintendo. You're welcome.
I also wonder what it means for developers, because one of the convenient parts about...
Yeah, the specs.
Yeah, like iOS, designing for when there was only one iPhone, designing apps for the iPhone was way easier than designing apps for Android, because there was more than one Android phone. And the iPhone is just like, oh, there it is. PS4, same thing. It's like, the hardware is never going to change. It's just, it's in there already. So you make your game for that hardware, and you know what everyone else is going to get.
Because the fact that it's like backwards and forwards compatible kind of almost makes it seem like they're just going to make it like optimized for like the lowest version of the Xbox, and then just kind of just put it on all of them. But then that kind of defeats the purpose of having, all these. Mm. So now it's like, how is that going to work? Like, are they going to make like 6 different versions of this game to make sure it's like optimized on each one, or like how does that work?
Well, I imagine what it's going to be like is basically like how PC gaming is. So you have your minimum requirements, which is basically an Xbox One, and then if you surpass them, then you can like crank up different effects and stuff. And maybe for the console market, they won't, it'll do it automatically. It'll just be like, oh, you have Xbox 320, and then it like cranks up all of the graphic settings to whatever level those are supposed to be at for that level of hardware.
Because
like that button exists in PC games too. You can just hit use recommended settings, and somehow it knows like, okay, you have this graphics card and this CPU and this much memory, and so we'll do it like this, and you should get a pretty good experience this way.
It's like magic. Except with science. And
kinda.
I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah. I saw it as like, this was the big news from last week? There was rumors that it was going to be like, Steam is going to be on Xbox One. Because there was
I saw you tweet something weird. I was like, what are you talking about, Chuck? I haven't seen anything.
Because there was like, some people found xbox.steampower.com. And they're like, oh, does this mean Steam is coming? Like, Xbox One is going to be a Steam box?
After you said this makes me, like, super sad and depressed, because, like, every time, like, someone from Valve comes on the Microsoft stage at E3, I'm like, oh, no, it's going to happen. So now it's like, and then, like, what happened last time where it was, like, Valve and Microsoft teamed up for something, and I was like, man, Microsoft really can just buy whatever they want. I can't. Because, like, Gabe Newell was on the stage or something. I don't remember what happened, but it was, like, I was sad, and I was like, man, Microsoft really can just do whatever they want, because they have so much money. Oh, I can't remember what it was. Cursive. I'll have to look it up.
Well, it's, like, Left 4 Dead and Orange Box. Like, that was only... Or Left 4 Dead was only on Xbox.
No, it was, like, after the Portal 2 thing, because, like, they were, like, oh... They were, like... Because it was, like, a PC, PS3 thing, where it's, like, oh, we're going to give... PS3 the users, blah 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 blah. But then like there was something after that happened where like they came on and talked about something, I can't remember what it was now, but I was like, no.
Huh.
It's a reaction. Not to look it up for whatever.
Yeah, this is very strange. Like, it makes sense, I think, from their perspective.
Well, it makes total sense from a business.
Yeah. Point. It's like, well, we have Windows as a platform, we have our own store on there. If we can't sell a ton of copies of our game on Xbox One because no one is buying our system, then we should sell it on that store and make some more money that way. And then from there, it's like, you know what? We should do that with all the games. Then people will totally make games for Xbox One, because it's like they're getting an Xbox One version for free when they make a PC game. So yeah, I guess like from that angle, it does make sense for developers too, because like if you're making a PC game anyway, you're already testing it on a ton of configurations, so might as well get a free Xbox One version in there as well. But the other way though, if you're an Xbox One developer is like, now I have to write it for like a PC style type thing, and it has to run on multiple different configurations of Xbox One. I'm like, this is not why I got into console development. I don't know.
Man, I can't wait until E3. Don't be fun.
Oh, so, yeah, I guess we'll end on a rumor. I guess, like, No Man's Sky pre-orders popped up early, and it's $60 coming out June 21st.
Right after E3?
Yeah, right after E3. Well, so the big thing out of that was everyone, not everyone, there's a vocal minority, maybe? I don't know if they're a minority, actually, but they, basically, they're like, what? It should not be $60.
What do you think? Why not?
Because it's an indie game, I guess.
I mean,
I haven't followed their reasoning.
There's a lot of things that are technically indie games. I mean, everything's not backed by some big publisher or something. Because, I mean...
Seeing as we have yet to see anything substantial in that game, I don't know how you could make that judgment.
Well, the people defending the price are basically saying the sheer size of the game, which is a galaxy worth of stars and planets, of course it's $60. In fact, that might be too cheap.
I mean, I guess it would kind of depend on... Well, yeah, I think like Tech was saying, though, we haven't really seen, like, a bunch in terms of information, so it's like, I still don't even know what type of game it actually is. So
it's like... They led off really heavily on just sort of the novelty of, hey, this is an entire galaxy. Look,
I mean,
how big
like
it is.
It's not like it's more than 60, which is like the standard price of a game anyway. Yeah, it's not like they're like, oh, it's $120. It's twice as much as a normal game. It's that awesome.
Like, it's same amount that they charge for
it's
every
like chill
game that's
out,
ever like
seriously.
Ever been released, like these past couple of generations. Like, what's the problem? Like,
it's like, oh yeah, it's $0 more than the MSRP. Please stop with the insanity.
Like, this isn't a new thing, guys. Games have been $60 for like years now. It's like,
have you not bought any new $60 games off the shelf?
I guess
like
the
last
other reasoning someone had was the team is small. I was like, what you're saying is...
This is such a like double standard. Yeah, like, indies can't do this.
When it's hundreds of people, they need to charge $60 because they need to pay hundreds of people. When it's like 11 people, they don't need to make that much money.
It's like
they can just charge $10 because it's only 11 people who have to eat off of it.
I don't think
people Jonathan Logan like, totally sell The Witness for 40, which is like 20 less.
Well, they also complained like about that one, too. They're just like... That's too expensive, because it's a... in that case, it was, like, it's an indie title.
But, I mean, it's like...
So they're like, it shouldn't be 40. It should be 10.
See, this is the problem with indie games, is, like, the definition that some people use is, like, well, indie games are only XYZ dollars. That's not the case.
Indie games are cheap.
Yeah, indie games are
not
cheap.
Indie games just qualify for... Qualify from anything from, like, an independent developer? Because, I mean, like... There's a lot of them out there. It's not just
like one that doesn't
some big name ones too. It's not like they're all just
that's not owned by their publisher.
Yeah.
Although I feel like has anyone played The Witness?
No one.
I feel like The Witness like they charged what they thought people would pay for it because he probably sat around like yeah. I think people will buy it for $40.
Like a good price. Let's do that. I don't know. I don't know. Unless the game comes out and it costs more than $60, I feel like you really shouldn't like seriously, guys. We've been doing this for years now. It's like this isn't like a new occurrence. So I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. It's weird.
Which is why I'm waiting for The Division to become less than $60 when I buy it, because I could get it at day one for $60, but I know it's going to go down in price because it's published by Ubisoft, so yeah.
Yeah, then there's always that too, just if you have an issue with the price, just wait until it drops. It's like there's no one's holding a gun to your head and like, hey, you have to buy this game on release day. So if you don't, then I'm going to come to your house and shoot you in your sleep or something. It's like, just wait for it to price. Like, this is not a new concept, guys. This is not a new concept. Like,
you guys heard that, like, Jonathan Blow was saying something like 90% of people playing The Witness on PC pirated it.
Wow, I didn't see that.
And it was, people. And it feels like that was a backlash. You know, like, pirates get all self-righteous every once in a while. It's like, $40, that's too much for The Witness. And then they go steal it. Or like, you know, in the case of Spore, was like, we hate this DRM. And then everyone stole Spore. I don't know if No Man's Sky is coming out on PC day and date.
I feel like they're just making up, these people who pirate stuff are just making up excuses, because really, you're still a terrible person for stealing this game. Like, you can't justify your theft. Don't try. So, it's like, yeah, don't get self-righteous. You're a thief. Simple as that. There's no justification for it. So, like I said, if you have an issue with the price, don't buy it. It's like, it's pretty simple. You don't have to spend your money on things, guys. It's like, like such a simple concept. Just don't buy it if you don't. like I don't understand the issue. Like, I don't understand.
Playing devil's advocate, I believe the response is, but I want it! And since I can get it...
Well, then, if you want it so badly, then you pay the retail price for it. It's like, don't complain about the price and then go and still buy it anyway. Because then, you know, why are you complaining? Because you were going to buy it anyway. So, I don't know. I just think it's dumb for people to be all like, no, $60 is too much for a game that I've been paying for the same price for everything I have been playing for the past two generations of games. No!
I like chickens. It's $0 over the MSRP.
like what is happening right now? Gamers are the worst. This is why we all get such a bad rap. Because people like this. People like this. They ruin it for all of us. Like,
well, that's the news. We're in March. That means Daredevil Season 2 is coming soon. Oh,
and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is back this month, too.
16 days.
Yay.
16 days.
Yay.
Okay, I'm looking. I just googled the whole. I typed into Google E3 Xbox Valve, and there's like apparently last summer or something, or maybe last E3, they talked about like a VR partnership with Microsoft. I don't know if that's it. Whatever.
Hmm.
I'm trying to find out what it was I was so upset about.
There is a VR partnership because they own Windows. But, I don't think there's like an Xbox specific one.
I have to go look through all my old tweets now. Yeah.
While he does that, thank you for joining us again. We'll be back next week, most likely. To find out if that is true or not, follow us on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. And check out the new aimlesspodcast.com to download the podcasts.
We's everywhere.
Anything to say before we sign off RPG?
Keep on making them babies and using them for war. Child soldiers for the win, guys. Child soldiers for the win.
Alright, so yeah, just a recap on the scoreboard. Score 1 for Tekken, as he goes up 7-3 in the disputed column to Tropicals 2, and RPG 0, so yeah.
I'm never finishing anything! Yay!
7-10?
I said 2.
No, I meant you have 7 or 10.
Oh, yeah. Alright, so yeah, that's it until next episode, or whenever you see her from us again, Aimless Babble Z, and we're now signing off.
Mm.